Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Cordial. That's same greeting every time, right? Same answer. Fine. Are y'all really fine? Everybody doing good? Because you know the reason that we're here is because our Lord is good, right? I mean, that is why we even have a vision, is because He gave us a vision first by coming and sacrificing His life for us. And so it's because of what He's done that we even get to talk about these kind of things tonight. And so tonight we're in the last deal of why do we need vision, and I've entitled this one, Allowing God to Lead. Okay, we need to be able to do that, because if we don't let God lead, we're just kind of going on our own, and that ends up where? Nowhere, right? If you just go on your own, it does not work very good for me, and I'm sure it doesn't work for you. So last week, we were challenged as individuals and as a body to consider seeing the church as God sees the church. And what did we learn? That He sees the church as the bride of Christ, okay? He adores the church, and He loves the church unconditionally. And He also sees the church as the body of Christ, okay? The hands and feet, something with a purpose and something that would be unified. And so why is that important that we see the church like Christ sees the church? Why is that important? Because if we cannot love the church and admire the church and see the church as a body and see the church as something with purpose and unified, why are we even here? Okay, so I'm asking you, why are we here tonight? Okay, and so what we're going to be tonight, we're going to look at some vision, and as we do that, we're putting ourselves as we see the church as God sees the church. As we do that, we're putting ourselves in a position to allow God to lead us further down the road on our walk with Him. Without God's vision and leadership, there's no way we can accomplish His desire and will for our lives as individuals and as a body of believers. We also looked last week at some essentials that as a church body we feel is vital to the health and growth of us as individuals and us as a body of believers called Living Hope Baptist Church Bryan. See, we talked about things like a membership agreement, okay? I know we're not going to go through all those again because that took a little while, all right? But those are some essentials. Those are some things that God really has called us to be. Small groups, okay? Those are some things. And intergenerational ministry, these are some things that God has called us to be all about. And so tonight what we're going to look at, and I said last week we got to the part on leadership, and we're going to look briefly at the leadership structure that God led us to adopt at Living Hope, Bryan, as well as some of the points of our vision that we're currently pursuing. We're going to look at some of our vision points, kind of this. How many of y'all were in the original core group? There's a lot of y'all that weren't, so maybe tonight would be a time to let you realize what we're all about and what God was doing. And as I was preparing for this, it was really awesome to sit and think back of some of the things that God has already done. I mean, we've been worshiping as a body almost 9 months, and it was a blessing for me to be able to look back at where we had come from and see the progress that God has allowed us to be a part of. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got new leaders. Some of you people are leaders that have never led anything in your life before, okay? We've got some new leaders here. Praise God, okay? Let's praise God for that, because it's Him that draws up leaders, okay? And we also have people allowing God to work in them. I've seen some of y'all say, you know, God's word is right, and I'm going to try that. And it's been a blessing to watch, okay? And we've seen people accept Christ. Praise God, that's what we're all about, right? Getting new people into the kingdom, all right? And we've also become a family, and the body being the body, right? We're a family, right? I see it in the list, sir. People praying and stuff for each other. Man, we have become a family, and that's what we want to do. And if you want to be a part of this church, we want you to feel like you're a part of the family, okay? It's also been enlightened. I've also been enlightened to the fact that God always has much more planned for us than we could possibly ask for or imagine. So for us to continue to stay on the path that God has planned for us, we need His vision, we need His heart, and we need His power. We must allow God to lead us. See, any vision that we have should be all about God. Okay? Amen? Because, like I said before, if God isn't our focus, why are we even doing this? Okay? And so we're going to take a quick look at our leadership instruction. And before you start going and getting all bored about the leadership and the structure, you know, I caught somebody yawning. I'm sorry. I wasn't picking on you. I was just trying to make a point there. Because sometimes when you talk about leadership, all this boring stuff, but really, we need to know what God has called us to do, because He called us to a little bit different leadership structure. Okay, we're an elder-led congregational church. Currently, we have three elders, it's Bryan Miller, myself, and Joe Montgomery, but that's not the only leadership that we have. We're going to find out. If I had a title that I could put on the type of leadership that we have in this church, it would be shared leadership, okay? Not just with us three, but it's with all the other leaders, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit. It's a shared leadership thing. We're in this thing together, Okay, but I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I want you to know that this wasn't just a plan that we came up with that sounded good. The reason that we were able to even change leadership is because we wanted to be a biblically led church. In biblical eldership, there's always a plurality. There was never one guy that was the main guy. Okay, it was a plurality of elders. It was a team approach, but you had congregational input and involvement. It's not a three-way dictatorship. It's not a dictatorship by one person or anything, as we're going to find out tonight. And so you say, why elder-led? Did you say that? You might have said, why elder-led? Okay, thank you. All right. Because we were given the freedom to change anything. Like when we got in the core group, we were given the freedom. If we want to change anything, you know, we didn't change a lot because there was a lot of good stuff going on at Living Hope. Okay, so we didn't change a whole lot, but we were given the ability to change the leadership structure if we wanted to. But anything that we changed needed to be biblically based and to make things better. Okay, and so what we did in the core group, we had a group that did some research. And it revealed that the elder-led churches were the most commonly mentioned in the New Testament. And so a lot of the leadership that you see on churches nowadays, it just really isn't as biblical as what we felt like the elder-led church was, okay? And so you see in Acts 14:23, Paul established the elder structure of the government among the Gentile churches, where he says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. Okay? That through prayer and fasting, Paul and Barnabas said, these are guys that have already proven it, and we're gonna make them elders. And really, the appointment of us, and that's another thing we learned in our research, was that elders appointed elders. Okay? Now, the leadership of the church always needed to be led by the Holy Spirit or called by God. Okay? But even with us, our sending church, Living Hope Baptist Church, College Station, they recognized us three, me, Joe, and Brian, as elders. And the reason they did that is because we'd already been serving in there, and we were proven in that and stuff, and not that we were anything special. Then we had to ask God, is this what you called us to? Okay. And so after our sending church announced that they were wanting us to be considered, then y'all, as the body of Living Hope Brian, affirm that position, okay? And I want to praise you guys because the way that y'all submit to us three is amazing. And we are not worthy of any kind of submitting, and I know y'all are doing it because you love Jesus, because we're just a bunch of normal guys all messed up, okay? And so what is the function of the elders? The function of the elders, and this is kind of a quick summary of the study. It was a little deeper than that, but elders usually directed the affairs of the church. They preach and teach, but they're servant leaders. And they're to be examples to the flock. 1 Timothy 5:17, 1 Timothy 3:2, and Titus 1:9 affirm what I just said. But the one thing I want to point to is that all leaders are supposed to be servant leaders. Okay, because that's the example that Christ gave us, servant leadership. All leaders should be servant leaders. So if you're a leader of anything, okay, we should all be servant leaders. And we're going to find out a little bit later that this atmosphere that God has created here is perfect for the elder-led church. Okay. And the qualifications that you see for an elder, you'll find them. And I want you to write this down, 1 Timothy 3:1-13. And we're not going to read these, but Titus 1:5-9. And the reason that I want you to look at those is because at some point we're going to be asking you guys to affirm some other elders. And before y'all start shouting out names to us, we want you to read those scriptures and say, God, does that person fit those descriptions? Okay. And so we're going to, that's what a little bit later, we're as the church grows, we're going to have new leaders and stuff in here. And so we're going to need y'all to do that. Okay. So read those, put that in your quiet time and read that stuff. Some other common titles for elder, and this is really important. We looked and we realized that there was different titles for leaders. You had the elders, the ones that rule, preach, and teach. You had bishops. You all heard all these in the Bible. These were overseers and managers. And then you had pastors. Those are the shepherd teachers. And what we found out in the research about elders is that all those were interchangeable. Not one of them had a spiritual superiority or any kind of rank over the others. All of them were the same. They were all, although may it be a different function, there's no spiritual superiority over any of them. And it's so cool how God has brought this together. The giftings and the things, the true biblical eldership allows God to use the different giftings of individual men, okay? Leadership in this church is going to be men, okay? Because that's biblical, all right? Women, we need y'all, because if it wasn't for my wife, I couldn't get half the stuff I've done. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be the men that are going to be the ones that are accountable to God for this, okay? So true biblical eldership allows God to use the different gifts of individual men for the good of the whole body. And man, I've already seen that even in just what we've done here with just the three. And I've seen it in the team teaching thing, how we get different preachers and stuff and come in here. So if you're visiting, you know, next week Butch is going to be here preaching. So we have a rotation of guys, and they're from Living Hope College Station, this body, and even New Life at times. So we really have some different guys coming in because we feel like that's just an amazing way to present the Word of God. Then you don't get focused on one person. And then that's what the cool part about an elder-led church is, that it's not about one person. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about anybody. It's about God, okay? And so, anyway, that was all free. Okay, I'm going to get lost here if I don't watch out. and you know, we have chosen to go this way. At some point, we may have a full-time pastor. Who knows? You know, we just really know. But if and when that day ever comes... For one, I already know that it won't be me if it's a full-time deal, because God has not released me to do that kind of thing, you know. And so I already pretty much know, unless God does something crazy in my life, you know. And he can do anything, but I'm just telling you, unless it's not going to be me. But if and when that day ever comes, the pastor, even if he's here and you want to call him pastor, whatever, you call him whatever you want to, but he is going to have no spiritual superiority over anything, whether he's full-time or not, okay, because of the structure and the thing that we see in the Word of God, okay? All right, and with the elders, we have a leadership team, and this what really helps us is that we have all the ministry team leaders for the different ministry teams. We meet once a month, and see, those leaders are there for communication and guidance. Man, we listen to those guys because they are the future leaders as well. These guys are leading without any kind of official title or anything. It's so amazing to see the servant part of this stuff. But we use that as a communication, and that's another reason why you need to be on a ministry team. Hello? All right, if you're a member of this church, you need to be on no more than two ministry teams, but you need to be on at least one because that's a great way to communicate through us, because you communicate through your ministry team leader, he communicates through us, and the communication is done so much better if you'll just do your part and live up to your membership agreement. Okay, so we have the leadership team, and then we have deacons. We don't have a whole lot of deacons yet, but the deacons were never to be rulers of the church. Deacons were always, even by definition, servants. Okay, and you see that in Acts 6, 1 through 6. And so that's the deacons. And, you know, some of y'all may be called to be deacons a little bit later. But anyway, that's for another time. In his book, Biblical Eldership, Alex Strauch wrote, "I am convinced that one reason that the apostles chose the elder system of government was because it enhanced the loving, humble, servant character of the Christian family." See, that, man, when I read that, I was like, man, no wonder God called us to do that, because we got an amazing body that is loving, humble, servant character of the Christian family. The New Testament offers a consistent example of shared leadership as the ideal structure of leadership in a congregation where love, humility, and servanthood are paramount. That's why it's going to work here, because it's love, servanthood, and humility in this body. I've already seen that, okay? Furthermore, in his book, he says, "Shared leadership is often more trying than unitary leadership. It exposes our impatience with one another, our stubborn pride, our bullheadedness, our selfish immaturity, our domineering dispositions, our lack of love and understanding of one another, and our prayerlessness." See, that's the thing. When things get hard, I can't say, "Hey, guys, it's my way or the highway." You know, I got to deal with them two guys, you know. And you got to deal with me, and we got to deal with you, because we're all in this thing together, okay? You can't just, there's not just one person here that's an authority that says this is the way it's going to be, and that's it, okay? So I have to learn to deal with the idiosyncrasies of y'all and me, and so y'all have to do that as well, okay? And something else on shared leadership, I thought this was really good. Talked about Jesus did not appoint one man to lead his church. He personally appointed and trained 12 men. Peter may have risen to the top as a natural leader, where he challenged, energized, strengthened, and ignited the group. Without Peter, the group would have been less effective, but when surrounded by the 11 apostles, who were his equals, okay, Peter became stronger, more balanced, and was protected from his impetuous nature and his fears. He had no rank or superiority over them. He was propelled to leadership by the Lord, and he was used where God had gifted him. See, Peter, even though he was the most... maybe charismatic of the group, He was not the total leader. He needed the rest of them, okay? And so that's the kind of leadership that you're in on, and because we really need each other, okay? And so that's biblical leadership. The Living Hope, I'm just telling you, we are in this together. And the reason we need each other, because we all have blind spots and cannot be all that God intends for us to be without each other, okay? But if we focus on God and His Word, from leadership to membership, that's everybody, okay? If everybody will focus on God and His Word, we'll be fine. And God will use us to impact others. Okay? So I want to start tonight. That was a real long introduction, okay? But I want to start tonight asking you, do you want to impact others? I'm not going to leave here until I get an answer. Okay? Because if you don't want to impact others, we might as well sack it up and go right now, okay? Because everything that we do in our vision points is others-focused, okay? And it is designed to impact others. So do you want to impact others? Come on now. Yes, let's get it. Do you want to impact? Yes. Man, they got a football game going over there, and if they make a first down, they're going to yell loud now. Do y'all want, and we got way more impact in this room, all right? Do y'all want to impact others?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, I should not have to milk y'all that hard for that, okay? All right, let's go. This is a big deal, okay? We're all on the same team. We're pulling on the same rope, all right? Our vision points, okay? The very first one was Bryan, okay? And I just wanted to as I looked at this, I thought, you know, this Bryan's a big city. But I really felt like that I needed to share with how we even got here. Because we started this thing as being a church. 5 years ago, we started something at Living Hope called the Church Start Team, okay? And it was a group of people that got together to do exactly what we did just 9 months ago, okay? But as we got together, 40 of us or so got together. How many of y'all were on that? Anybody in here? There's a handful of us that were on that team, okay? And I was the leader of that team, and we went and we got together and we prayed about, okay, God, we thought we're going to buy land, start a church, just like you always do, okay? And so that was on our mind. We sat there. We decided to go ahead and drive these streets and say, God, show us where you're at work, okay? And so that's what we did. We drove around for a month, and we came back, and some of the things that God showed us in that meeting are happening in this church today, okay? And that was so exciting because God showed us that, you know, there were enough buildings out there. You know, we saw the ministry was so vast, so much going on, a lot of churches. And we realized that, you know, man, this is going to take money to do ministry in this community. And so man, if we waste it building a building, and I'm not saying that's wasting it, but if we use it for building a building and land and stuff like that at this point, God, we can't do ministry, you know. And so another thing God told us that was, so to not build a building was something that God told us very clearly, and that passes on to us as well today, okay, right now. God, the thing about the vision points, you know, God can change His vision, because as we get further down the road, things change, okay. So anyway, then we also felt like that God wanted to use us as a catalyst for unity. That's why we began to reach out to other churches, and we still have that heart today, okay? Because what happened with all that, Living Hope had a Saturday night service, and one of the things that God put on our heart that was really, really deep was that we it's not time for us to separate, okay? We need to stay one church, but we took the Saturday night service and started worshiping in Bryan, okay? We were still one church in two locations, and that started that, okay? And so after we did that, we all learned what it was like in Bryan, and we got a heart for Bryan. We were doing 3 years of ministry here in Bryan. And so when in that three-year time, we didn't need a church start team anymore, right? Because we weren't going to start a church. We were going to just start another service. So what the church start team evolved into the outreach team, okay? And all this is really important because God has been doing something with this group for a while to get us to this point right now. And that gives me confidence to know that the next step is going to work too. Okay, so Bryan, and so we became the outreach team, and then we did a lot of things, the community picnic, a lot of the things. It was our job as the outreach team to push the body of Living Hope outside the walls of the church. Does that sound familiar? All right, that's the heart of this church. That was what we wanted to do, and so we were the outreach team. So when we decided to be the Bryan core group, it really didn't surprise me that 95% of the outreach team was on the core group, okay? I mean, that's true. About 90, maybe two people out of 30 people or so were left at Living Hope from the outreach team. And so that ought to tell you that's some of our DNA, some of our heart to be outside the walls of this church, okay? But Bryan is on our heart, and we must be faithful with the ministry God has right in front of us, but our vision should always be to reaching the ends of the earth. See, Bryan is just a part of the focus, you know. But I look over here, and man, you see all these students, so many students. There's so many areas that we can go, but we always have to be thinking past Bryan. But that's one of our vision points. Acts 1:8, we're told, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, that's our calling right here first, then our Judea, then our Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. We got to be focused on that. Okay, our second vision point, proclaiming the gospel. Every aspect of our ministry should have this as the number one priority, okay? It is the gospel that has the power to save. Without the gospel, there is no ministry, okay? If you don't know the gospel, you do not have a ministry, all right? Romans 1, 16 through 7, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. See, if no one ever hears the gospel, they don't get saved, is what that verse says, okay? And so for us to not learn the gospel, for us not to receive the gospel for ourselves, how are we ever going to give it to a dying world, okay? The gospel has to be the forefront of everything that we do. When we do these community picnics, we need to be sharing the gospel. When we're back there keeping kids, we need to be sharing the gospel. The gospel is the thing that has the power to save. It's first for the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. See, and that righteousness is Jesus Christ, in case you didn't know. If you've never heard the gospel today, Jesus came and died for your sin. That you wouldn't have to go to a real place called hell. That gospel is the reason that we even do this service, because we want you to know our Savior more than anything else in the world. Okay, and that is the only thing that is going to make your life, when I say better, it's better eternally. It may not be better here. Okay, I'm not going to promise you that. But I'm going to tell you what, the gospel is the thing that has the power to change you. And it's Jesus revealed. Righteousness from God is revealed. He came from heaven to earth to reveal himself to us that we wouldn't have to suffer death. Okay? That's the gospel. It's that simple. All you have to do is receive that, and then you are a child of the Lord. Okay? A righteousness that is by faith from first to the last is just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I ask you again tonight, do you want to impact others? Yes. Commit to knowing and proclaiming the gospel. You got to know it, okay? And we're going to have classes and stuff. I mean, if you never shared the gospel and you want to, man, get with us. We will teach you how to share the gospel, okay? It should be very simple for us, but I do realize that it's scary for some folks. And that's why we do some of the things that we do, okay? The third one is being recognized as true, authentic Christians. That was a big deal in our group, because I think a lot of us came from dead churches, and a lot of us have seen the neglect and the misuse of the Christian name. And I'm going to tell you, our community has seen enough fake Christians, amen? And if you're not on board with this one, please don't join right here, okay? Because really, this world has seen enough fake Christians, and they will figure you out in a minute. Okay, and so you really have to at least, now we're not asking you to be perfect, okay, because if that was the case, this place would be empty, all right, but we are asking you to allow God to work in you, okay, if you come here and allow God to work in you, okay, and that comes through fellowship, and that's part of your membership agreement, that we hang out together. Fellowship and transparency with the body is the key. See, you have to be transparent with your brothers, and so we'll be able to come alongside you for you to be authentic. Because when you leave here, you may look all authentic in here. When you go out there and start blessing everybody out, then you're a hickey on this church, you know. And I'm just telling you, we really do take that very, very seriously, okay? Because, man, we want to be known as authentic, because that's one of the main things I hear, hypocrites in the church, okay? That's the number one reason I hear for people not coming to church, is the church is full of hypocrites. And all a hypocrite is an actor. Okay, it's somebody that puts something on and they got a mask on, and behind that mask is not what you're seeing. Okay, that's a hypocrite. And so we want y'all to be able to take the mask off and be real with us. Okay, and that's a big important. That's one of our vision points. Okay, because it's so vital. And being proactive by going out and training up missionaries, making disciples of Christ. And I see these were two different ones, but see, I see these kind of similar. Okay, because the key words I see here are going out. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in this church and you don't want to go out, you're going to be in a bind, because we are going to be going out, okay? And this is something that I really want you guys to challenge us as leaders and even as members, because if we get so caught up in doing services and stuff that we forget to go out, would y'all remind us? Because we need y'all as well, okay? Because we really, that is part of who we are, going out and training up missionaries. The key word is going out and training. We're to make disciples, okay? That's the Great Commission. We make disciples inside here, one-on-one, but we also go out And some of you that think that you're going to be missionaries at some point, I mean, if you're planning on being a missionary in another country, you should already be doing missionary work right here. Okay? You don't have to wait till you get to Africa to become a missionary, because if you got a missionary's heart, it's in there. Okay? You got to be a missionary wherever you're at. You got to be a missionary at work. Okay? And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make missionaries that maybe can't afford to go to Africa. All right? But we can afford to go to HEB. All right? There's a lot of people that need Jesus in HEB. All right? And so, but I'm not limiting the fact that we're also here to probably encourage and train some of y'all to go to the ends of the earth. Those students and that we have, man. And I know, man, Amy, Kenya, she's got a heart for Africa. She'll be back someday, you know. But we get to be a part of what's going on over there because of what of the job that she's done over there, you know. And so we get to be a part of that. And so that's a blessing that I get to be a part of. But the ultimate goal for all of us is spiritual growth, right? We plan to have classes and activities that'll stretch your faith. We want to be a good steward of the people that God brings to us. So that's what we do. That's another one of our visions. We're being proactive by going out, training up missionaries, and making disciples inside this building and outside of this building. Okay? Our next one was pursuing all cultural, socioeconomic groups. That's everybody. That's a big old word for everybody. Okay? Love people, all people. Now, one of the things that kind of concerns me a little bit about Living Hope Bryan is we've kind of got a label of being an inner city church. Okay? Well, being an inner city church means we love everybody who lives in this inner city. I'll take the title, okay? Yes, we love inner city people. I don't even know what that means, okay? I'm inner city. I live, you know, I'm outer city. I don't know what I am, okay? But we love all people. See, we are all city church. We're not an inner city church, okay? And so we've got to remember that and not get so focused on one little part of the vision that we forget that we serve a big God, okay, that wants everybody, all cultural, socioeconomic groups, okay? And I realize, and in James 2, 1, 4, we're told that favoritism is a no-no. It's forbidden for a Christian to play favorites, okay? But this may be a slow process. You've got to realize that middle-class white people are probably going to reach more middle-class white people than they're going to meet other people. But I'm going to tell you what, the love of Christ goes past any color, any culture, any checkbook. It goes past everything, the love of Christ, and everybody needs it. I don't care how much money you got, and I don't care where you live. I don't care what you need, the love of Christ. Pain is pain, right? Everybody hurts. And we need to be a church that is willing to do that. And, you know, and that's an area that we may have to lay down some of our preferences and our desires and our goals, our personal time. We may have to lay down some of those for the cause of Christ, okay? And what may that look like? You know what? That may look like church plants in different areas. The next church we do may be in a whole other area. Bryan may be in a whole other city. It may mean that we do Bible studies and ministries in the neighborhoods. You know, the people aren't just flocking to the church. Have y'all noticed that? Okay? So we may have to do things like that, ministry in the neighborhoods. If they won't come to us, we need to go to them, you know? And that's what's so amazing about missionaries, is because missionaries go and they stick out like a sore thumb in some of those countries, okay? And that is just an object for the Lord to be glorified right there, okay? Because when they see somebody come all the way across the ocean to minister to them Christ, they got to wonder why somebody would do that, okay? And so I think it's really similar when we reach out to people not like us. At some point, they're going to say, why are y'all doing this, you know? And I'm not talking about on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm talking about a lifestyle of ministry, okay? A lot of organizations do good deeds on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm talking about the long haul. This may take a while, okay? We have to be committed to the fact that God wants to use us to impact this community, okay? We got to be committed. And children with the intent of impacting families. And I'm going to tell you, when we got in that core group at College Station, children was a big deal. We went around and we asked people, what is your passion? Why are you here? Why do you feel like God's called you to this core group? And a big number of the people were for the children, okay? I guess it shouldn't have surprised me because the children is something that just captured our heart when we came to Bryan. But what was really neat to reminisce of, even where we are with the children now, the children's ministry that we had started over there on 2110 over on O'Hearn Road. Okay, we're sharing another church over there and with a school and a church. Man, we've been sharing with everybody. We'll borrow anything. You know, if they let us borrow it, we're going to borrow it, okay? I was over to Manuel the other night at the steak night. I said, man, y'all got a popcorn machine. Thank you, Jesus. You know? And so they said we could borrow it anytime we want to. So we already got access to a popcorn machine. Now, and when I go into church and I see something, I'm asking for it, all right? Because it don't belong to people. It belongs to God, right? That's right. Okay, same thing. All right. Hey, you do the same thing, all right? Because y'all go places I don't go. Man, I'm finna get mixed up, okay? But children with the intent. And so it started over there at 2110, and the ministry started with two. I can remember, there might have been more. But there was a couple ladies that had a heart for kids. They hung around them all week. They'd go pick them up, and they'd bring them to church, you know. And you know, we'd pet the little kids on the head, you know. Oh, this is cool. We've got kids here, you know. And so they had this ministry that they were doing on their own. Well, then they came to the outreach team. Both of them were on the outreach team, one meeting. They came to the meeting, and I was saying, man, I noticed y'all bringing a lot of kids. Is there anything that the team maybe be able to help you out with, you know? And they shared with us. They were going into these neighborhoods with only three or four seatbelts, whatever, in their car, you know, filling up their cars. And when they were leaving the neighborhood, there were kids running behind their car wanting to come to church. And I said, no. No. We need to do something. We're the body of Christ, okay? And so we began to do little things. And so we did the thing. We thought, okay, let's just go ahead and just pick up a ton of kids. We just started picking up kids and bringing them in there and dumping them on the ministry, you know. And, boy, that was a nightmare, okay. We've learned a lot of stuff, okay. But because we just do things, we react, you know, to what God's doing. And so that's what we did. We just brought a bunch of kids. And then somebody had the bright idea, let's get a bus. I said, no, we're not getting a bus. We got more kids than we can take care of right now, you know. And so, but we did. I didn't say that quick, even though I was the leader. I didn't say it that quick. I said, let's pray about that. But, you know, as I was praying, what I learned was something that is in our DNA here, too, okay? When you go in a bus to pick up a bunch of kids, and I'm not saying that's bad. Please, man, I'm going to get in trouble with all kind of ministries, all right? You seem to be an organization, okay? But what we wanted to do, we said, you know what? Let's have people go pick up kids, and you're not an organization, you're people. Okay, and so one of the things, the rules that we made, we had to come up with some rules, was that if you brought kids, you need to be responsible for it, and you need to help hang out with the kids in the ministry as well. Okay, because it's not just about bringing a bunch of kids to church so everybody sitting in the congregation can say, look at what we're doing. I'm gonna tell you what, that is not the way it is here. I'm gonna tell you what, if you're sitting here watching these kids walk out every night, every time, and you're not involved, I'm gonna tell you what, you're disobedient to what's going on because somewhere you can help. Okay? If you've got limitations, let me know. But I'm gonna tell you what, there's somewhere you can help in here because God has called us to minister to these kids. Okay? And so I'm challenging you to take ownership of these kids because really the reason that we need to do that is because we want to impact the families. Okay? It's not our job to raise all these kids. God didn't ordain us to do that or nothing, but I tell you what, God can use a kid to work on a mom. God can use a kid to work on a dad. God can use a kid to do a lot of different things. And you know, just like I said before, it can be a long process, but we have to be in it for the long haul. Okay, we got some wonderful kids here, and I wish the children's minister was here. Dustin, he really would probably could tell you about some of them that have some changed lives. You know. You know, hey, y'all been, I know why y'all don't, some of y'all don't go back there. You go back there and it's crazy, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, we have some great leaders. We went from two ladies that started a ministry to a male-led leadership team, okay? Praise God. You guys, man, I'm going to tell you what, guys, we need to get off our tails because these kids need some males, all right? Get off our tails. These kids need males. That's a good slogan, right? All right? Oh, well. I told y'all a long time, y'all knew a long time ago what y'all were dealing with when y'all let me up here. Anyway, I'm sorry. But really, we need to work on impacting the family. These single moms need some help, you know. Some of these fatherless kids, you know, they need a father figure, you know. They need daddy to be daddy, but that's the ultimate goal. But they do need a father figure until that happens, okay? And we as a body need to be getting involved in the families of those. And so I don't know what that looks like. I'm just telling you that's what needs to happen, okay? And so you pray and ask God what your part of that might be. And the youth, man, it was really cool. I got to call Carlos today. That's part of the children too, but they ain't children anymore. That's from 6th grade to 12th grade. These kids, they make that next step, okay? And it was really neat. Carlos said we started with 5. Carlos, it's growing, right? The youth, the See, praise God. See, started with five. And I was talking to Carl. I said, what do you want me to share about that? Because I don't get to see the youth that much but they're kind of behind the scenes. And I'm sorry that I don't get to see that. But man, Carlos, he really captured the heart of this church when he told me this. He said, what we want to do with these youth, and most youth ministries are designed around programs and things and fun. Yes, they're going to have fun. They're going to do some things. But Carlos told me that they are trying to empower these kids to take the gospel to their school. Okay? And that's what has grown the ministry, because these kids, these five kids, they've been working on sharing the gospel, bringing it to the, and then they brought their friends. That's how this church is going to grow. Okay? Not just in the kids. It's going to happen with you too. Okay? We have to be proactive in growing this church, because we're supposed to be making disciples anyway, whether you bring them to church or not, right? Okay? And so that was amazing. And also they're modeling unity, because they're hanging out on Wednesday nights with Living Hope College Station, you know? And I'll tell you, if they got something we want, we going to get it, you know? Because that's just the way it is. It's the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's not about one church. Okay? And so that, and then we have preschool. And I'm going to tell you right now, the preschool is the greatest area of need of service in this church, okay? And so, because there's a lot of kids. Y'all ain't noticed, we got some baby-making machines in this church, you know? And it's not just them. We have mamas and stuff that are coming, you know, that they really, you know, they would love. How can you impact a family by watching a kid back there? You can allow mom to go to a discipleship class. You can allow mom to hear some stuff, you know? There's just a lot of varieties of different ways that you can do that. But the bottom line is, even if you're not called, that's a need, okay? And Sunday nights for sure are a need. Do what? 24 openings, okay? Man, wow. You know, there's going to be a table back over there, and you know, I would like to just tell you go sign up, but here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to walk by that table and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, okay? Because I can tell you to serve forever, but until God tells you to serve, it's not going to be real, okay? But if you're a member of this church and you're not serving, we're going to talk to you at some point, okay? Because that's part of who we are, okay? But they need my suggestion, especially for Sunday night. Some of y'all are taking classes. I understand that, okay? If you're planning on coming in on the Bible study, the Sunday night Bible study, man, you can donate a couple nights a month for that. You know what I'm saying? Because you are the people we really need to draw from. The Sunday night people who aren't taking discipleship classes, that's the first place we need to look, okay? And now, it ain't a drawback. This is the requirements for that. You need to be a member, okay? And so if you hadn't filled out a membership card, and if you have filled out a membership card, and you just haven't taken the membership class, because you're really not a member until you've taken the membership class, all right? But if you want to serve, you can contact me, Brian, or Joe, and we will talk to you, and we'll okay whether you can serve in the preschool prior to that, okay? So that's one of the ways that we can do to expedite the process, because we have a membership class every fourth Sunday, okay? And so anyway, we want you to get involved, but you have to be a member, and you have to fill out a background check, okay? And if that scares some of y'all, if y'all got some issues and you want to talk to me about, come to me. We'll find out. I mean, because basically it's a... they're checking for child sexual offenders, okay? If you have that on there, I wouldn't fill it out, because you're going to be rejected. But other things, I'm going to tell you, you can park cars, man, you know? Exactly what I said before. I mean, if you're a criminal, you might not be able to keep our kids and count our money, but you can help park cars, you know? Because I realize a lot of people have messed up, okay? A lot of people have messed up and it ends up on your record, and you don't get to do some of the things, you know, consequences of that. But here's the thing. We love messed up people, okay? Because every one of us, we're messed up people, okay? We do not want to discount somebody from serving God for a mistake that they made, okay? Now, if you're currently a criminal, that's a different story, all right? So let's work on the repentance side of that deal before y'all come to me, okay? All right. Y'all clear? Okay. Blend College students, faculty, and staff. That's one that came from that group. And even when we started the, when I presented this to the church as a deal, we had nobody for that. Okay. Praise God. Fernando is the leader of that, and it's not just Blinn. It's even gone to Texas A&M as well. And that's always, we've always looked for Texas A&M. But the reason that Blinn was always on our heart, because they seem to be the overlooked college, okay? And so we want to be the church for overlooked people. You know, we want to pursue those that others may not be pursuing. And so we've really started out with a lot of things going wrong over there. And I was talking to Fernando today, and he was talking about how there's some organizations that are already on there starting, and one lady goes to Emmanuel, we may be able to plug in with them, you know, and so God is already doing some things, but y'all keep praying for favor at Blinn, okay? And then Fernando talked about for the students, you know, he has the same heart. Exactly, it was so awesome to hear him say almost the exact same thing that Carlos said, you know, because really his goal of the ministry team for the, and he also asked me if anybody's interested in helping him on the college ministry team. Y'all get with Fernando, because he's looking for some like fellow workers. Was that what you called it that one time? What did you call fellow workers? You know, he's looking for fellow workers in that area. Okay, and so if you want to be a part of that team, contact Fernando, and he can be a part of that. But the whole thing is, he said, we want to teach these students to fulfill their membership agreement. Amen. Huh? Because it's not just about coming and hanging out with each other, you know. They get to hang out with me, you know, and they get to hang out with some of y'all old folks too, you know. So that we want them to be more than just another social organization. We want to use those college students, okay? Anyway, but that's a praise that God's already done that, okay? He brought this leader. And it's always long-term growth is what we're after. And the last one is prayer. And it's not last because it's the least important, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's the most important. Okay? And we adopted this quote from S.D. Gordon. It said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. Y'all get that? The greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. The greatest thing. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. And see, I praise God. This is an area, man, I'll tell you what, I can't help but just get teary-eyed when I think about this. I praise God that God has brought a leader to that prayer team, okay? Barney Phillips is one that I know he has a passion for prayer, and it's not just Barney. There's an amazing team that's began to evolve into a prayer team. And I'm going to tell you what, God is going to do something here. Because I was reading those notes. I was reading that class. I'm going to tell you what, if you hadn't signed up for that prayer class, you're missing a blessing. Just looking at the notes, I was convicted just reading the notes, okay? Because God is doing something with that group of prayer warriors, okay? And I praise God for that. But I know that if we're never going to be all God intends for us to be until we grasp the magnitude and the power of prayer. We'll never be there, okay? And the goal is a goal, just like Jesus says, to be perfect as I am perfect. The goal here is 100% of you praying in this church, not in this church, 100% of you in this church praying for everything. Did you hear me? Praying for everything. Prayer needs to be a lifestyle. Prayer needs to be something like we're breathing. We, as a Christian, we should never not want to pray. And I'm just telling you, I am convicted just saying those things, okay? But I'm going to tell you, if God is going to do the things that I know that God wants to do with this church, we have to become a praying church. And I can't coach you into praying. I can't challenge you into praying. Because even when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, it's on the Holy Spirit to do that, okay? It's going to take the Holy Spirit wooing you to prayer. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just give you some just challenges in that area. And I don't want to make everybody feel bad, because everybody in this room, would you say with me that you need to pray more? Everybody in this room, right? Every Christian in this room, until we go home to be with Jesus, we are not going to be perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, we cannot pull up short of the goal, all right? 100% praying for personal things, corporate prayer, meet together. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people in this service. We pray an hour before this. I know some of y'all can't make it, but I'm going to tell you what, you need to show up, because God does some things in the prayer, okay? There's a lot of opportunities to pray. And we want you to be a praying church, not only when you're here, but when you're gone as well, okay? Intercession. And we need some of you that are just flat-out prayer warriors. You may not be neighborhood walkers, but you're prayer warriors. You can be the knees of this church. We need you. We need you, and we need you to call Barney because man, we want people that we can call and say, hey, I'm going to be doing this on this day. Will you be praying? And we know that you'll pray, okay? And that's the kind, we want to pray over everything in this ministry. Because one of the things that Barney said he learned from that class is that your prayer life is an indicator of your relationship with God, okay? I mean, if you don't pray a lot, you don't have a close relationship. I'm sorry, you know. And when I say a lot, I don't know what time you put on that. I mean, and what prayer really is, because a lot of times prayer is just listening to God. Just listening to God. But man, you got to wake up acknowledging that God is there. You got to wake up every day saying, God, I need you. You know, you need to live in a lifestyle and an attitude of prayer. Don't just call him when you need him, okay? And he also said, your prayer or lack of prayer shows how much you really value Christ. Ouch, huh? Ouch. I read that one and I said, ouch. that just kills me, you know? And one of the things that I asked Barney, I said, Barney, if you could say one thing to the group about the prayer, what would it be? You know, and he gave me those notes and he said, you know, Alan, if it could just be one thing, I would say it would be to trust me, you know? We got to trust God that it's going to work. We got to trust God that when we pray, it's going to work. We got to trust God in his power. We got to trust God with our kids. We got to trust God with his church. We got to trust God with so many things. We got to trust God every day when we just get up, okay? Trust me. Test me, you know? Give God. If you don't got 5 minutes of prayer time, one, that ain't enough. But if that's all you got, give it to God and see what he does with it, okay? Be obedient. Please, please. And man, take the class. If you're struggling with prayer, there's got to be. I mean, I looked at those notes. It's going to be amazing, okay? And then another area that I see God at work is unity with other churches. We've had some cool experiences here with some of those other churches, right? But it's shared ministry for the sake of the kingdom, okay? It's got nothing to do with us having a fun time with a bunch of different people from a different church. It's getting to know them so we can have shared ministry, okay? And so I ask you, do you want to impact others? Do you want to impact others? Yeah. Thank you. We were never going to leave till y'all got that right. I guess my last question, will you join us in this vision? Let us pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. God, I thank you for the vision that you've given us. Lord, how it started a long time ago. God, and I pray that as we already see growth in the vision that you've given us, Lord, we expect even more in the future. God, I can't wait till we fill up that gym over there, God. I pray that it not be about numbers, Lord, but I pray it'll be about all the disciples that each one of us in this room are winning to you, Lord. So not out of a mailer, not out of just a people's words, Lord. I just pray that it would be, because you have impacted us so much that we can't help but tell others about you. Lord, and so I thank you for this group of people, and I just can't wait to see what you're going to do. Amen. We have a time of reflection. I just respond to God however you would, and I just ask you to just consider what your part in this vision is, because God didn't bring you here on accident, okay? We know that God puts people in the body for a purpose. And so I ask you just to pray and reflect and let God deal with you.